Welcome to Follow the Bible with David Hoff. Today we'll examine some verses, trusting they will strengthen your faith in God and His Holy Word. And now for our study.
Hello, and welcome again to our Bible study. We are glad that you are able to listen today. Whatever we study in the Bible is very important because the whole Bible, cover to cover, is from God Himself, and it was written for you and me. Presently, we are studying the book of Mark, the second book of the New Testament. This is study number 25 in our series, and we are in Mark chapter 4. Last time, we finished up with verse 29. In today's study, we will begin with verse 30. Jesus is speaking, and we read starting from verse 30, and He said, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Jesus starts off this statement by asking, to what do we, quote, liken the kingdom of God? That is, what illustration is like the kingdom of God, or teaches us about the kingdom of God? This statement by Jesus is helping to define what a parable is. Another definition of a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly or gospel meaning. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 30, Jesus defines a parable as something that is like the kingdom of God. We can examine the illustration that is like the kingdom of God and, with God's help, learn more about the kingdom of God. In the next phrase, Jesus says, quote, "Or with what comparison shall we compare it?" The word comparison is normally translated parable. Jesus is saying, quote, "Or with what parable shall we compare it?" A parable is an illustration to which we can compare the kingdom of God to learn more truth with God's help. In this illustration, Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed and the eventual mustard tree. Jesus is comparing something very small, like the seed of a mustard plant or tree, to the final plant or tree that grows from it. A seed is a very small thing, perhaps the size of a pea or even smaller. Yet it grows into a large plant that is taller than a man. The seed starts out as a very small thing and yet grows into a great plant. Jesus likens this seed-to-plant transformation to the kingdom of God. And with our perspective of almost 2,000 years since Jesus said these words, we can see how this prophecy of the Lord Jesus has been fulfilled. The gospel started out as a very small thing in the nation of Israel, but it quickly spread to parts of Asia and Europe within the first few decades after Jesus went back to heaven. And over the centuries, the gospel has gone into all the world. The gospel started out from Jerusalem as a very small thing, likened to a seed. But over the centuries, it has gone into all the world, and that is likened to a grown plant. Shortly before going back to heaven, Jesus told the apostles that they were to go into all the world and bring the gospel to every nation. Jesus told the true believers in Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Jesus is instructing the true believers, more than 1950 years ago, to bring the Bible into all the world and to make disciples. Jesus promises to be with the true believers as they are doing this work. And this prophecy of the Lord Jesus has been fulfilled. God has motivated and guided the true believers so that the gospel would go out into all the world, fulfilling these prophecies. We read a similar statement in the book of Acts. The book of Acts covers the beginning of the New Testament church for about the first 30 or 40 years after Jesus went back to heaven. In the book of Acts, we see that within a few decades of Jesus going back to heaven, the gospel was in many cities of present-day Turkey and into Europe, up to Rome. It is a very interesting book of the Bible to read. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus gives some final instructions to the apostles before going back to heaven. We read starting in verse 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus promises to send the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit upon the true believers to enable them to carry out the big job that God has given them to be carriers of the Bible into all the world. The Holy Spirit is God Himself, the Spirit of God. So the promise is that God Himself would be with the true believers to work in them to will and to do of God's good plan. And that good plan includes bringing the gospel into all the world. Jesus tells the disciples that they will be witnesses of Him, quote, unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is another promise that the gospel would go into all the world. We can see that this has been fulfilled by the fact that the gospel has gone into all nations and into every corner of the world. We also read in the Bible that this would be the case. One example passage is found in the book of Revelation and in chapter 7. Starting in verse 9, there is a vision of heaven, and in that vision are people from every nation, every kindred or tribe, every people, and every tongue. We read starting in verse 9, After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be unto our God for ever and ever. Amen. God is using four words in this passage to emphasize that out of all the peoples of this world, there are true believers that will be with the Lord forevermore in the new heavens and the new earth. God says that His people have come from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every tongue or language. This confirms that God has fulfilled His declaration that the gospel would go out into all nations and produce a harvest. And this is one of the points of the parable of the mustard seed that we are reading about in Mark chapter 4. The gospel, or the word of God, is represented by the small seed. Yet, that small seed becomes a great plant, which represents how the gospel started out very small in Israel, and yet has gone into all the world. Let's now go back to Mark chapter 4 and look at some more truths from this passage. We read again starting in verse 30. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. One question is sometimes raised about this parable. Regarding the mustard seed, Jesus says that it is, quote, less than all the seeds that be in the earth. People have found seeds that are smaller than the mustard seed. And so some people think there is an error in the statement of Jesus because he seems to be saying that the mustard seed is the smallest seed. Yet there are smaller seeds than the mustard seed. Some people conclude that Jesus did not know something and therefore Jesus could not be fully God. But the Bible assures us that Jesus is fully God. Or some people think that this indicates that there's some kind of error in the Bible. But this is not true either. The Bible is completely true and trustworthy. Sometimes we run into verses that seem to be hard to understand or hard to fit into other things that seem to be true. However, that does not mean that there's a defect in the Bible. Rather, there is just something that we don't understand. When we read the statement by Jesus that the mustard seed is, quote, less than all the seeds, normally we think of the word less in the sense of size. However, this word less is used in other ways like something that is esteemed or valued to be less than something else. For example, we find the same Greek word in the book of Matthew in chapter 10 and verse 42. Jesus is speaking and we read there, And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. The phrase little ones is the same Greek word translated less in our passage in Mark chapter 4. The little ones refer to those that become saved, whoever that might be, whether child or adult. The true believers are called little ones in the Bible for various reasons. Sometimes the title little ones refers to the fact that they are little in their own sight, or little in the sight of the people of the world, or for some other reason. But it has nothing to do with the size or age of the true believer. Therefore, the mustard seed could be less in the sense of its value to the farmers or for some other reason. In some way, the mustard seed was the least esteemed or least valued seed among the farmers. In any case, there are no defects in the Bible. Rather, there are statements or verses that sometimes we have trouble understanding. There is one other point that we would like to make about this parable that Jesus has given. Regarding this mustard seed, Jesus makes an interesting statement in verse 32. We read again there, "But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Jesus gives more information about this mustard tree. We read that the tree grows, and that identifies with how the gospel has gone out into all the world, and people throughout the whole world have become saved. But Jesus tells more about this tree. We read about how, quote, "the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." We want to keep in mind that since the Bible is written by God, everything written is very important and given for a specific purpose. There is no extra or filler material that might appear in a book written by a man. So we want to consider why Jesus talks about fowls or birds resting under the shadow of the tree. The Bible sometimes refers to the true believers as birds, birds that fly to the safety of God, who is their protection. For example, we read in Psalm 11 in verse 1, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" In this case, a true believer is represented by a bird that flees to the mountain. The mountain represents the kingdom of God. He is fleeing to God, who is the king of the kingdom of God. Another example is found in Psalm 124. We read starting in verse 6, "Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." In Psalm 124, God again represents the true believer as a bird. In this case, the bird is escaping out of the snare of the fowler or the bird catcher. This represents the fact that the true believers are delivered out of the snare or traps of evil people and sin and out of the devil's dominion. In both psalms that we just read, the psalmist indicates that his help comes from the Lord. His trust is in the Lord Jesus, the God of the Bible. Going back to Mark chapter 4, we read that the mustard tree provides protection so that, quote, "so the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." In this parable, the mustard tree provides a shadow of protection for the birds. The birds represent the true believers, and the mustard tree represents the kingdom of God headed up by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God. The language of Mark chapter 4 is teaching that God provides protection for the true believers. No matter what happens in this world, the true believers are protected by God. Even if someone were to destroy our body, if we are a true believer, our spirit just goes into heaven to be with God. Nothing can separate the true believer from God and His care. We are reminded of the language of Romans chapter 8 regarding God's protection of the true believer. We read starting in verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." If the Lord Jesus is our Savior, nothing and no one can separate us from His love and His care. Let's go back to the figure in Mark chapter 4 of the mustard tree that provides a shadow of protection for the true believers. This theme can also be found in Psalm 91. We read starting in verse 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Verse 1 talks about how the true believers dwell in the secret place of the Most High. The true believers dwell in God and in his kingdom and are under his care. The idea of dwelling in God's provision is also present in the parable of the mustard tree in Mark chapter 4. We read that the birds, quote, lodge under the shadow of the mustard tree. That is again teaching that the true believers have their dwelling in God. God is the protection and lodging place for the true believers. Even in this present world, the true believers are under the constant care and protection of God. Let's continue on in Mark chapter 4. We read starting in verse 33, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. There are some interesting statements here that we want to try to understand. We read that Jesus spoke many parables to the people, and Jesus spoke to them as they were able to hear. Jesus limited his speaking of the Word of God to them according as they were able to hear it. The Bible indicates at least two things that limit man's ability to hear or understand what God is teaching. One thing that limits man's ability to receive the Word of God is God's timetable for revealing truth to him. We read about this in the book of John in chapter 16. There, Jesus is giving some final instructions to his disciples before he goes to the cross and later back to heaven. Jesus says, starting in verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Jesus tells the disciples that he has many things to tell them, but at this point they are not able to bear them. This is similar to the point that Jesus only spoke to them in Mark chapter 4 as they were able to hear it. Then, in John chapter 16, Jesus gives more explanation about the ability of the disciples to hear the words of the Lord. Jesus indicates that the Spirit of truth will come and guide the disciples into all truth. The Spirit of truth is another name for God the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. We learn from other parts of the Bible that the Holy Spirit was sent after Jesus went back to heaven. We learn more about this in the book of Acts. After Jesus went back to heaven, God gave more of the Bible as he guided the writing of the New Testament. Also, God gave more understanding of the Bible. We find an example of how God gave more understanding of the Bible to the true believers in the book of Ephesians. The human scribe of the book of Ephesians was the Apostle Paul, who was used of God to bring the gospel to the people of Greece, the area of the present-day Turkey, and other places. God speaks through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 and tells how that new truth was revealed to Paul that was not known in generations past. We read starting in verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 3, If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. This may be a tough passage to understand. God is teaching that before Jesus came, it was not known that God planned to bring the gospel into the whole world and to save Gentiles as well as Jews. Even though God's plan to save Gentiles was written about in the Old Testament, it was not understood by the believers in those days. However, the Apostle Paul, who was sent out with the gospel some years after Jesus went back to heaven, was given this truth by God. Now it is well understood that the Bible teaches, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that God plans to save people from throughout the whole world. This is an example of truth that God revealed to the true believers later on after Jesus went back to heaven. This is a fulfillment of what Jesus said in John chapter 16. This also gives us some explanation for the statement of Jesus back in Mark chapter 4 and verse 33. We read there again, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it." Jesus limited his teaching according as the disciples were able to hear the word. Part of the reason for the disciples being limited in their ability to hear or understand the word of God is that God has a timetable for revealing truth. Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 16 that he had many things to tell them, but those things had to wait until the Holy Spirit was given after Jesus went back to heaven. God has a timetable for revealing truth. Another reason for the disciples not being able to hear or understand the truth is because of sin. We saw this fact as we studied the large crowds in Mark chapter 4 and John chapter 6. As we learned, Jesus taught the crowds in parables, which hid truth from them. The problem with the large crowds is that mostly those people were not interested in learning the truth and obeying it. Rather, the Bible portrays the interest of most of them being focused upon something new or something exciting. The Bible also gives other passages that indicate that if we turn away from the Bible or don't want to obey the Bible, then we will not be able to hear or understand as much truth from the Bible. We see this fact in the book of 1 Corinthians and in chapter 3. In this chapter, God is talking about being fed with milk and with strong meat. God is talking about being fed with the Word of God, the Bible. As we read and study the Bible, we are being fed by the Word of God. But many people of the Church of Corinth had a lot of interest in this world, which God refers to as being carnal, and they were not able to receive as much truth from the Bible because of their focus upon the things of this world more than the things of God. We read starting in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" As revealed by this passage, many people in this church had their focus upon the things of this world, which is called being carnal. Those whose hearts are focused upon the Bible are called spiritual, because they are being led by the Spirit of God. The language, quote, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat," is talking about the teaching of the Bible. The Apostle Paul could not teach them more advanced truths from the Bible because they were not able to bear it. Then, in the next verse, he gives the reason they could not receive the more advanced teachings of the Bible. We read there, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" There was still a lot of sin in the people of the Church of Corinth. Their focus was upon the world's concerns rather than on walking with God. As a result, they could not receive the more advanced truths of the Bible referred to as meat in this passage. They were limited to the food for babes, someone new to the Bible. This passage teaches that our sin or worldliness will keep us from a greater understanding of Bible truth. We read the same teaching in the book of Hebrews and in chapter 5. In this chapter, God is admonishing those that claim Jesus as their Savior and yet are not growing in the Word of God. God tells them that they should be teachers, but instead they need to be taught the first principles of the Bible. This passage begins by talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great high priest and the focus of the believer's attention. We read starting in verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 5, "Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This passage begins with the fact that there are many things to say about the Lord Jesus. Those things are recorded in the Bible. We read about them, but if we're like the people here in Hebrews chapter 5, we won't understand very much. God says that these people were, quote, dull of hearing. This is similar to what we read in Mark chapter 4, that Jesus spoke as the people were able to hear. At the end of the passage, God indicates what is lacking with these people that are dull of hearing. We read that they have not, quote, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They have not exercised themselves in the Bible so that they are able to discern both good and evil. They have not put the time and effort into reading and studying the Bible to distinguish good from evil. These are two passages in which God faults those that claim a relationship with the Lord Jesus and yet have not exercised themselves much in the Bible. As a result, they are not able to hear or understand much from the Bible. And this relates to our verse in Mark chapter 4. We read again in verse 33, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it." We read that Jesus spoke to the people according as they were able to hear the word. We looked at two reasons for why the people were limited in their ability to hear or understand what Jesus said. One reason is that God has his own timetable for revealing truth. We looked in Ephesians chapter 3 and read about how God had kept hidden his plan to send the gospel into all the world and to save Gentiles as well as Jews. Also, we looked at how sin and the resulting judgment of God limits man's ability to understand the Word of God. We saw some passages where we read that truth from the Bible can be taken away from man because of his sin. The solution to this problem is to go to God in prayer, asking for help to turn away from sin, and asking for God to help to understand and obey His Word. This is all the time that we have for today. Until our next study, may the Lord richly bless you.
Thank you for listening. Please join us again next time. We have prepared a book and study guide on salvation that we would love to send to you. Please write today for your free copy. Our address is Follow the Bible Ministries, P.O. Box 1332, Alameda, California, 94501. Our website is followthebibleministries.com. Email us at followthebibleministries@yahoo.com. Follow the Bible Ministries is entirely listener-supported. The contributions of listeners like you enable us to continue broadcasting on this station. May the Word of God dwell in you richly.